The rivalry between Iran and Israel has now taken a new turn. Now it is not just about missiles and military capability, it is through invisible digital warfare. On October 12th, Iran faced one of its most significant cyber attacks. Could this be the beginning of a much larger conflict? Let's look into it. So what exactly happened? Over the weekend, that is on October 12th and 13th, multiple Iranian government systems went down, that is judicial, legislative, fuel distribution, and municipal services were hit. Most alarming of all, Iran's nuclear facilities were also targeted. This is no ordinary cyber attack. It's being called one of the most severe assaults on Iran's critical infrastructure. Iran's Supreme Council of Cybersecurity has quickly confirmed the attack, and they have said, important information has also been stolen. I want you to understand this. This is not just a domestic crisis for Iran. It is part of a much larger geopolitical chess match between Iran and Israel. Few days before the cyber attack, Israel's defense minister issued a chilling warning. After Iran launched a missile attack on October 1st, Israel promised retaliation, and they have even said this time it is going to be deadly and surprising. Now, because of this warning, it can be estimated that the cyber attack that occurred on October 12th is the first phase of a prolonged conflict. I'll explain why I say this. Now, this is a new kind of a warfare. In today's world, taking down any digital infrastructure can be just as devastating as a missile strike. It disrupts daily life, creates chaos, panic, and it is a deadly way of sending powerful message. The economy of a country can be destroyed in a very short time. Just imagine how many years, how much time, effort, and many other resources it takes to build a country's economy. But if it takes only a few moments to devastate it, then think about how dangerous and terrifying that method would be. Now the next question is, why cyber attacks? Well, cyber warfare has some distinct advantages. It is less visible, more deniable, and can cause significant damage without the immediate international backlash of traditional military action. It also keeps the pressure on Iran while keeping open the possibility for further escalation. If you look at this last point, this one is very important. Because by putting pressure on the targeted country, it makes life harder for them. But at the same time, because this kind of attack is less visible than a military attack, therefore it gives the attacking country, which is Israel, a way to send a warning to Iran without starting an all-out war. Now this approach leaves room for further escalation, meaning Israel can increase the intensity of the attacks later if needed, or stop it if they get what they want. It's a way to test limits without immediately risking a bigger conflict. This is the reason why I said this cyber attack that occurred on October 12th is the first phase of a prolonged conflict. This is going to stretch. Now have a look at this map of Iranian nuclear sites. There are 5 routes and directions to consider, each with its own strategic advantages and challenges. Number 1. Israel can fly eastward over Jordan and Iraq to reach Iranian airspace. This is one of the shortest air routes to Iran's nuclear sites. This route avoids the high mountains of northern Iraq, making it more suitable for fighter jets or drones. But the real problem would be to gain permission or tolerance from Jordan and Iraq, which is politically difficult, especially given the fact that Iraq is a supporter of Iran. And furthermore, both Iranian and US have forces deployed in Iraq, so there are high chances of detection. The second way is, Israeli aircraft could fly southeast, passing through or near Saudi airspace, then cross into the Persian Gulf to reach Iran's southern coast. As you may know, Israel and Saudi Arabia share a common interest in countering Iran's influence in the region. So Saudi Arabia might allow or turn a blind eye to the use of its airspace. But then as soon as you enter through the Saudi airspace, you will reach the Persian Gulf. Iran has significant naval capabilities in the Persian Gulf, which will pose a risk to Israeli aircraft. And then not to forget, Iran has placed advanced air defense systems along its southern coastline to protect against airstrikes. Last week or so, Iran has issued warning to Gulf countries and neighbors not to help Israel by giving access to their airspace. The third way is Israeli planes would head northeast, flying over Turkey, then Armenia or Azerbaijan to reach Iran's northern borders. I've always said this, cooperation with Azerbaijan might allow Israeli aircraft or drones to launch strikes from Azerbaijani air bases or use Azerbaijani airspace. But the challenge over here is that the northern part of Iran are mountainous, making it more difficult for planes to maneuver. Then Turkey, Armenia or Azerbaijan will need to cooperate with Israel, which could be politically challenging, especially for Turkey and Armenia. Again, the mission would be known to many parties. Plus, Iran has placed advanced air defense systems along its northern borders to protect against airstrikes. The fourth ways, Israeli jets could fly around the Arabian Peninsula, over the Persian Gulf, and approach Iran from south. This is not a good idea because Houthi rebels are here. And then, as I said, Iran has significant naval capabilities in the Persian Gulf, which will pose a risk to Israeli aircraft. On top of that, Iran has placed advanced air defense systems along its southern coastline to protect against airstrikes. And the fifth way is Israeli jets could head northeast over the Mediterranean, fly over Syria and Iraq, then enter Iranian airspace. Israel has previously conducted airstrikes in Syria, so this is a familiar route for Israel. Then Israel has intelligence network in Syria and Iraq, which will provide them real-time data to avoid threats. But then the real problem is both Syria and Iraq have close ties to Iran, making this route highly risky. Syrian and Iranian forces may be on high alert for Israeli aircraft. Then there is Russian military presence in Syria. Any operation involving this route would need to carefully navigate Russian radar systems. So these are the only five ways Israel has to navigate through if it were to conduct an airstrike inside Iran. And I have also explained each route comes with its own strategic considerations and challenges. Now there is another way Israel can conduct airstrike inside Iran. For this, they need the help of United States. As we know, the United States CENTCOM keeps a close watch on the Middle East and Central Asia. And since we know that, the US Navy maintains a significant presence in the Middle East, Israel can receive logistical support from America in this region, whether it is about refueling or intelligence gathering. Now, we also know that Pakistan cannot say no to United States. The United States can enter Pakistan whenever it wants, carry out its operations and leave. So Israel can use the support of the United States to enter Iran from Pakistan and carry out its operations. The only problem is United States will have to coordinate military actions between Israel and Pakistan. So these are the six routes Israel can use to conduct airstrikes inside Iran. But then you saw that there are many complications and consequences. So the easier alternative to a military airstrike is cyber attack. Here are the advantages. Now the key question is, how does Israel carry out cyber attacks on Iranian infrastructure, including nuclear sites? Here is a simple flowchart-like representation of the cybersecurity architecture of any critical infrastructure. Always remember this, broadly speaking, there are two main ways to conduct a cyber attack. One through an insider job that involves a person who has to physically install malware or other malicious software in the internal system in order to give access to the hacker. And the second way is through external methods, such as exploiting vulnerabilities in the systems from outside. Usually in a cyber attack, these three are often primary targets because they are directly related to access and control of sensitive information and systems. So let me explain to you in very simple terms how Israel may have cyber attacked or let's say hacked into Iran's nuclear facilities and civil infrastructure systems. As I said, there are two ways to do this. The first option is having someone on the inside install a special software or program within the system, which would allow Israel to access it from outside. This is called an insider job. Essentially, the doors of a fortress are always open from the inside. The second way is remote hacking from anywhere in the world. Now, there are two important methods within this remote hacking. Many critical infrastructures use virtual private networks, VPNs, or cloud services to securely connect remote workers or systems. Large infrastructures or facilities are divided into multiple parts, each operating separately. To link these different networks, a private, encrypted network is used. If you can get access to this, you can play your game. Now, how do you get access to this? For example, if someone is using third-party app for work, when the next update or patch is available, malware could be sneakily inserted into the software, which would then enter the main server during the update. The second method is if any part of the network is connected to the open internet. In that case, access can be gained into any system, and the applications or software within it can be tampered with. A simple example of this is if you work for a company and they give you a laptop to work on, you may notice that you can't just download any software you want onto the company laptop. This is done to prevent someone from hacking your computer and gaining access to the company's main server through it. So something similar happened with Iran. As I've always mentioned in my previous videos, there are quite a few people within Iran who secretly pass information to Israel. One of these insiders may have planted malware into the main system of the nuclear facilities. Or perhaps Israel tampered with some third-party applications or programs and managed to insert malware into the server of Iran's nuclear facility through an update. And this is how Israel gained access to Iran's sensitive information. For now, we know one thing, this conflict is no longer just fought on the battlefield. It's fought in the shadows of cyberspace, and the stakes have never been higher. So let's see what happens in the near future. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching it.